Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Mall in Columbia with my co-host, Dennis Lane. On today's show, Dennis and I will take a look at some local sports issues, politics, and the Liz Bobo announcement not to run for re-election. We'll also update you on town center redevelopment news, pathways, and the bicycle master plan, and much, much more. And joining us today is political activist and avid blogger, Tom Cole, known to his readers and fans as HOCO Rising. But first, a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Join us for the screening of Urbanized, a documentary on the design of cities, co-hosted by Columbia Association and Howard County Library as part of CA's Community Building Speaker Series. This screening will take place on Tuesday, September 18th from 7 to 9 p.m., at the 50-plus center located at East Columbia Library. RSVPs are encouraged but not required. For more information, please visit bit.ly/urbanizedfilm. That's bit.ly/urbanizedfilm. This message has been brought to you by Columbia Association.
Okay, Dennis, why don't we jump right in and introduce our guest. You want the honors?
Sure. Tom, welcome back. This is what, number three?
This is number three.
Wow.
I thank you guys so much for having me back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We had the party.
My limit for being the, not limit, but my honor of being one of the most frequent hosts was interfered with by you guys having Ox and...
That
kind of hurt, didn't it? Just a little bit.
Well, being your biggest fan...
Yeah, right.
I keep track of those things.
But you're back in first place. And speaking of first place, the Orioles.
God, he nailed that transition, didn't he? I love it.
How about them O's, hon?
It's awesome. I mean, as a political junkie, I watched most of the game last night and very little of the end of the Democratic convention because,
that's
was compelling
you,
television. Really?
That's big.
It is.
You know, I got to be honest, I'm kind of a, I don't put myself in the same category of political junkie as you, but we had the opening NFL game, the Dallas and Giants game.
That was tough.
On Wednesday night, so I didn't watch any of the convention that night. And then last night, the Orioles, you know. Mm-hmm. Beating the Yankees.
I love the Verizon button last because then you can kind of flip.
Yeah, but you need three.
Last.
It needs to be so you can set up three channels because for the football game, I was watching the Orioles, I was watching the football game, and I was watching the convention.
That was the Orioles lost that night. That was the Toronto, right?
Toronto. Yeah. Yep, they lost that game.
Yeah, but we're back in first place.
And, you know, that was a huge game last night. That's the type of game that makes a team have confidence that it can beat the big bully Yankees.
We know it's funny because early on in the season when we were doing really well, people were like, yeah, it's just a fluke. It's never going to thrive.
Right.
And then June, and then we got into July, and it was, wow, they're still alive. They're still in the hunt. You know what? They're really in it.
And ESPN hates it. You know, they begrudgingly acknowledge that the Orioles are doing well, despite this run differential of now, I think it's 20-something runs.
Even better than that, you read the New York Times. Sunday's New York Times had a great, like, fluff piece on Showalter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were all over him, saying his technique and what he's done with the Orioles. I mean, for a New York paper to be coming out and putting on their Sunday paper, putting an article about the Orioles.
You know what? I think after years and years of the Angelos family being sort of battered for step out of management, be an owner, bring in the expertise to run the team, I think they finally are hearing it. Mm-hmm. And I think they finally did that with Showalter. And I think, you know what? It's paying off for them.
And
it's great.
Don't downplay Duquette too much either, the new general manager, because he pulled magic off. We ended up Jeremy Guthrie. We got Jason Hamill. And we got a reliever that we then turned into another... you know, standout player on the team. He has pulled so many moves off when they have sent so many players back down to AAA, and then they had these ragtag group of people come together that ended up being good pitchers and getting the team where it is right now.
Yeah. Well, moving from baseball to NFL, we have the Ravens opener coming up on Monday night.
Well, the first sad news about the Ravens, I mean, Art Modell, I think before we get into the good news about the Ravens,
can do it your way. Yeah. That's fine.
Well, I know we set it up the other way, but the more I thought about it, it's, you know, he bought the team to Baltimore.
He did.
And as much as Baltimore loves him for that, they hate him in Cleveland. And even to this day, they you know, it's, and we were talking about it a little bit at lunch. We grew up when Irsay took the Colts out of Baltimore, everybody hated Irsay. And when the old man finally passed away, there was no no tears shed in Baltimore. I think the same emotions being felt in Cleveland right now.
But
yeah, I think it's a little bit different. I mean, I think what Irsay did to the Colts leaving Baltimore is a little bit different than what he did leaving Cleveland.
I agree.
But I guess for the fans, it was the same outcome.
They don't see it. We see it. When Colts left, we were left with no promise of getting another team. Matter of fact, we had to go against the NFL's wishes. To get a team back in Baltimore.
I think it's also something where Art Modell was loved more in Baltimore than he ever would have been loved in Cleveland, and more than Irsay was ever loved in Indianapolis. When he brought a team to Baltimore, he brought back something that Baltimore had built itself around and just filled that hole, and they welcomed him. You know, Cleveland, I understand Cleveland's issue, whether you want to get into the whole stadium. You know, he was trying to get a stadium. They wouldn't give it to him, all of that. But I tell you what, once he came to Baltimore, there was no stranger that I can name that brought more happiness than Art Modell to me and millions of other Ravens fans. Well, millions, hundreds of thousands, I don't know how to put that.
And now they open Monday night in Baltimore. Monday Night Football, the first game, I think, the early game, right?
The early 7 o'clock game.
Yeah, the early 7 o'clock game.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of the first several of their games are actually night games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're like out of town for almost the entire month of October,
yep.
I think.
That's
going to
really
be a weird schedule this year.
High-profile team.
And you know what I think about, too, is tailgating is as much of the Ravens experience as anything else. And there's going to be a lot of people with red eyes.
Oh, well, I tell you, when there is a night game for the Ravens, anybody that's been to a Ravens game, when it's a night game, watch out. Because even though most people work on Mondays, a lot of people take off on Mondays for Monday Night Football, and they will drink at the same time that they normally would for a tailgating for a football game, and then
then they pay for it on Tuesday.
That's like 10 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday games.
Watch out.
But locally, though, we have another great sports story.
Tatiana McFadden.
We talked about her
last time.
Yeah.
She was actually participating in the
London Paralympic
Games.
Paralympic Games.
And she had previously won some medals in two prior Olympic Games. But actually came away, and I think she still has some events pending, but she's already won two golds this year. Yeah, so she's doing tremendously.
That's awesome. Congratulations to her. What about her sister?
I know her sister's participating for the first time this year as well.
Right.
I had not heard whether she's up for anything, but I also want to mention that she is, Tatiana, that is, up for, she's one of seven finalists for the Women's Sports Foundation Sportsman of the Year.
Wow.
For an individual sportsman. Yeah, just a tremendous, tremendous story. And kudos to her and her family. We mentioned this last time, but these are adopted kids. And the mom really took these kids and said, you know what, you are going to succeed, even though you've got physical disabilities. And she really drove them to be a success. And she showed them that it's possible for anybody who really fights enough.
Yeah, I don't know what she told them, but boy, it sure worked.
And good for the Baltimore Sun for raising the profile of these athletes, because it really is something that the community should be proud of and celebrate these athletes and not given enough press, in my opinion.
Agree.
We get too hung up on the Ravens and the Orioles. And
what Michael Phelps does in a college dorm room.
Right. And then there's that. So we can agree, we can disagree with Liz Bobo's politics. Mostly disagree, but that's okay.
Although Chris Oxen, he agreed with her on one thing. Remember that? He agreed with her not
her decision
up.
To resign?
No.
Or not run for re-election?
Not going to this, not attending the special session.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. What I think we can agree on is, politics aside, she has been a tremendous public servant.
Yeah, long-serving.
Long-serving. Howard County Council, went on to be county executive, went on to be a state delegate, and announced last week that she will be retiring and not running for re-election in 2014.
Speculation abounds as to whether she's really going to retire for good. I mean, I've even heard, and it's crazy. The crazies are out. Oh, she'll run for D2?
County Council
seat?
Mary
Kay's.
D4.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I always get that confused. But she'll come back and run for County Council.
Well,
you know what? I think there's certain people out there that are public servants, and it's in their blood, and it's very difficult for them to make that decision to not run for re-election. And you know what? 2014 is a long way off. She may have a change of thought. But I give her credit for the basis upon which she made this decision, which was Zach, her grandson. and the whole Zacking movement that he started, and her having this revelation that, you know what, there's more to life than public service, and I've done my piece, but you know what, I want to spend time with my family and honor my grandson. And I think that's great.
And actually, there's one more point off of that, which is you need to honor the fact that Liz is able to leave on her own terms. She is not leaving because she lost an election. She's not leaving in disgrace. How rare is that, that a politician gets to leave on their own terms instead of losing, failure, disgrace? She gets to leave on her own terms if this is her time to leave.
And actually, you know, I give so much credit to people that know when the top is the top and when to get out before they start their slide downward. Politics, business, you know, I think very rarely people in high-profile positions are able to do that. And I think that's a great point.
Certainly. I mean, the other thing, too, is that... I lost my train of thought on that.
It happens with those following you.
Absolutely on that. You know, she's been at the pinnacles. I mean, she had a lot of power. Oh, I know where I was going with it. But her, she's also facing a change.
Bring it on, Dennis.
Yeah, it took me a minute. A change of landscape too. Her district is changing. You know, she pretty much had this. A lot of people consider it a safe seat. You know, the sub-district of 12A that's gone away now in the new redistricting. I think that had something to do with it.
Well, and of course, there's lots of speculation now because there's this seat that's potentially opening up and everyone's jockeying and trying to figure out who might be the logical people to step in.
Yeah.
Mary Kay Siegety was a early name.
And now you're hearing Clarence Lamb?
I'll tell you, I would be very surprised to see Mary Kay leave Columbia at this stage. Columbia is right at the point where things are starting to roll. Around 2014 is when you're going to see those ribbon cuttings happen, hopefully on a regular basis. I would be very surprised to see Mary Kay leave unless there was something about the state delegation, the General Assembly, that really drew her in and was something she could be passionate about, because everyone knows she is passionate about Columbia.
And while the seat, I think, has a greater possibility going forward for a Republican than it does today, I still don't see a Republican filling that seat in 2014, which really brings you back to the point you made. Lamb, 31-year-old Johns Hopkins School of Public Health guy.
Dr. Lamb.
Actually, there's two doctors that are in the forefront. The other one is Dr. Hill, who's a plastic surgeon. Both of them are being identified as probably the next two after Mary Kay as the potential people interested in that seat.
And yeah. I don't... Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if either of you have had the opportunity to meet Clarence, but he is a genuine individual that I think would be a very good delegate in that seat. He's young, which is something I get excited about because I love seeing people of my generation getting in there.
Yeah, he's 31 years old, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's been on the Central Committee. He's stood out amongst his peers, and I'd love to see him run for that seat.
He's a nice guy. I met him at John Weinstein's fundraiser, which, by the way, I should mention, you know, John Weinstein at his fundraiser said that when he decides what he's going to do, he's going to make the announcement on our podcast.
He did?
So when John calls us to see when we have a spot open, we know he's going to make an announcement. Anyway, that'll be an interesting race. And sometimes there's good people that are lined up for that spot, too.
The other thing I wanted to mention from a local politics perspective, you know, Ken Ullman has really made a national name for himself in taking a lead on some very innovative things at the county level. He headed up the Maryland State Maryland Association of Counties. He led that organization. And now he's picked up a national seat, the NDCO, the National Democratic County Officials, which actually is an organization of over 10,000 Democratic County officials across the country.
A nationwide platform.
Yeah, and he's actually he's chairing that organization. So,
I mean, you got to be impressed with the man's playbook. You know, whether you agree with his politics or not, you gotta give him credit. He's setting himself up nicely.
Ken has done a tremendous job over the short term, going from someone that everyone said would not stand a chance for the gubernatorial spot to being someone that people talk about quite often and are sort of saying in their head, how could this work, as opposed to just dismissing him outright.
Well, and actually, as a result of being the chair of this organization, he actually had a super delegate spot at the national convention this week.
Not just a regular delegate.
Not just a regular.
Wow.
A super delegate.
Super delegate. Super Ken.
Special clothes.
So, you know, it'd be interesting.
Did you get a cape with that?
Be interesting to see in the next convention, you know, if you kind of do a rewind and look in the rearview mirror of people like O'Malley, who spoke as a mayor at the convention, I think in 2004, was it? And now you fast forward, he had a primetime spot at this year's election, convention. Very much.
Yeah.
We can go there in just a second.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm curious to see. You know, will Ken get a spot at the next one? Will he have risen to the point where he's worthy of that on a national level? It'd be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. He comes across well too. I mean, you know, I think he comes across a lot warmer than O'Malley. I mean, people like Ken.
He comes across warmer than old Ken. I mean, he's completely changed his way of speaking in public in a completely transformative way. I do not think he's anywhere similar to how he was when he ran for re-election for county executive.
So O'Malley is not worth time on the show, but I will spend just 15 seconds to say, you know what? We all see him on a regular basis on local TV. The image he tried to portray at the national convention, he was like on steroids or something. I mean, I think one of you guys actually might have said it on your blog. It looked like he had just taken his five-hour energy drink.
Yeah, that was Tom.
I mean, he tries so hard to just be overtly charismatic, so contrary to who he is deep down. Well, it was obscene.
I need to give props real quick to actually Ox, who on Facebook.
Can you say that one more time for Ox's benefit?
Sound capture that and play it over again. But he had as his Facebook status that O'Malley looked like a bad imitation of a TV president.
Yes, I did see that.
And I thought that, you know, listen, he may have had a different attitude that he was supposed to bring, but it really just sounded like he was yelling. It did not sound like he was communicating, and I thought it was a very unfortunate outcome for him when it was his opportunity to really make himself stand out, and who knows what he did to his long-term chances on the national stage.
I wouldn't worry, but you know, you think back, you peel this back, remember Clinton's first convention speaker,
right?
He droned on, and people said, this guy could never be president.
Well, and his speech the other night was just masterful.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
phenomenal.
Yeah. So. But anyway, we don't want to get too bogged down in convention because the other stuff's going on.
Yes. So just want to also mention Maryland's highest court has agreed to consider whether individuals in the state of Maryland have the right to challenge legislation using referendum as a vehicle. And prior courts and federal courts have said, no, you don't have standing to do that. And Maryland's highest court has agreed to take this on and take a look at it. It's kind of a technical issue.
Yeah, this is the Susan Gray, Paul Kendall et al., Frank Martin group. And it all kind of started with the failed petition to keep Harris Teeter out of Turf Valley. I think this is where it goes back to.
I believe you're right.
And then they challenged the constitutionality of throwing out those petitions. And then they kind of they grew it, and they wanted to overturn, 15 years of land use decisions in Howard County, or...
Well, I think what they're getting to is the whole right of petition and whether or not it is a right or whether or not it is a mechanism of the charter. The issue is that our charter, our state charter, does provide for referenda, but it's whether it provides it as a right or as a mechanism. And if it's just a mechanism, then there is no right. This is just a process that you can use. It's not something that you as a citizen of Maryland have a right to petition everything the government does, because if you take that to its logical end, that means that our government would be forever stuck in mud for anything it tries to do, because any given item would be brought for petition, put on a ballot, and our government would be at a standstill at all times.
More so than it already is.
Well, I mean, with special sessions, they're moving fast enough, but it just does not make sense what they're trying to argue here. And I think the reason the court took this on is to explain the statute in terms of what the law means so that it is clear and we don't have this legion of lawsuits as we have already had, saying that, oh, well, you took away my right to petition, which does not exist.
So after 4 years, we may finally see. I mean, this has been, and they have been turned down at every appeal. I mean, they have not prevailed in the court yet.
Well, they can't move up from here if they're interpreting state law.
If the
Court of Appeals is interpreting state law, it's done.
All right.
Well, Tom, I think you're right. I mean, we live in a representative form of government where we elect officials to make decisions on our behalf, and your recourse as a constituent or as a citizen is to not reelect them. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get.
Right.
You don't get to question every piece of legislation as an individual citizen. And that's really what this would amount to.
Especially when we're talking about individual zoning. Because individual zoning, that's when you're talking about how an individual can use their property. That is, everyone should be horrified.
The property rights issue.
By where this could be taken. If an individual's ability to use their property can at any moment be brought for referendum and changed. Because that is something that can affect every single one of us that ever want to transfer property or use our property for a different purpose.
Another local issue, keeping our politics thing. We had a discussion earlier this week. There was a big article in Patch about school board candidate Ann DeLacy taking issue with some of the online bullying, I think, that she sees going on. And this kind of brought up a case of the good candidates that are running for the board this year. You never hear about them because they're not in the news. They're not around these controversial issues. They just want to get on the board to do a good job for the students. And I'm the two incumbents, Janet Siddiqui and Ellen Flynn Giles, but also two challengers or two people who are also looking for seats on the David Gertler and Jackie Scott. When was the last time you heard Jackie Scott's name mentioned in the press? Now, this woman is a Georgetown Law grad.
Georgetown Law, actually professor there also.
You know, she's the real deal and wants to do this to help the kids. And David Gertler, here's a guy who's a mathematician by training. He's worked at NSA.
Higher ups in business.
He's the kind of guy we want on the board, especially as the STEM programs, the science,
technology, engineering, and mathematics.
You know, he's the kind of guy you want to help build policy around that.
You're identifying an issue that we could probably spend an entire week debating because it goes to politics in general. It's a popularity contest. It comes down to how well can you speak, which, frankly, has little to nothing to do with how good you can govern.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with how good a fundraiser you are, which really has little to do with how well you govern, and
Absolutely.
Has everything to do with how much you can arm twist people into giving you money. You know what? You have an affair behind your wife's back, and that benefits you because your name becomes more well-known than the guy that didn't. I mean, this is a huge problem on a national level in politics.
It is. And especially when you get down to the school board, which, very few people pay attention to. Any of us go to our neighbors and we ask them to name two people on the school board, I bet you they couldn't do it.
Right. And I think the biggest thing is, and Roger Kaplan on your podcast said this best, in my opinion, was the fire in your belly. Because that is what's going on here. We have a community that is an echo chamber sometimes, where these candidates that we define as good candidates are surrounded by people like us and other people that are involved in local politics, and they say, oh, you're such a great candidate, you're going to win, you're going to be fine. Well, that diminishes the fire in their belly that should be there, getting them out on street corners, waving signs, knocking on doors, getting their name out any possible way they can do it, and that's what you're seeing with Ann DeLacy. She is being very effective at getting her name out and very effective at keeping her name on everyone's lips, which, for good or bad, is going to put her prominently in a good spot for the election. And the good candidates need to get that fire and they need to go out and do something, or they're going to find themselves losing after everyone told them they would win.
And we also bear responsibility. On things like these podcasts and in our blogs, and I actually made up my mind today, I'm not mentioning the other two candidates at all between here and the election. I'm just going to talk about Janet Siddiqui, Ellen Flynn Giles.
Give them fictitious names.
David Gertler.
Talk about them all the time.
And Jackie Scott. I mean, there's four good ones. You only pick three, but there's four good choices there. So let's just talk about them from now on.
Sounds fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fair, but it works.
I don't know. But you're right. They also have to get out there. They have to get a little bit of that fire, too. It becomes the onus is on them. Taking a different path and getting to things that are kind of
a different path. Is that what you said?
I did say different path. Oh my God! What a great transition. It was a big
not anymore.
Yeah, it was a big path in the news. Howard Hughes unveiled plans this week for the first phase of the pathway system that will eventually connect the Bland Air Park in Oakland Mills to Howard County General Hospital, coming down through Town Center. This is big. I mean, this is, somebody said, well, Columbia's got pathways. No. You try to ride a bike from the hospital to Bland Air Park.
Which is great. CA is working on, by the way.
Yeah.
This is great connectivity. I mean, it's what, if we want Columbia to be a urban feeling sort of place where people are going to walk from the mall to Clyde's to Harris Teeter, and if you want people to do this kind of stuff, you got to create a venue for them to do it. You got to create paths. People are—they're not going to walk.
Well,
it's hard getting Americans to walk anyway.
When the archives was working with the Columbia Patch a while back to post the old advertisements for Columbia, and my favorite one was a guy with a briefcase and an overcoat and a top hat who's walking with clear skies and saying the commute is sunny with clouds.
Right.
And,
I remember that ad.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was actually someone's commute, where Columbia builds a commercial sector where people can walk from their homes down Columbia's pathways, down the Blandare Park pathway to where they work.
And even make the connection. I mean, there should be a better bicycle connection to Ellicott City as well, and to some of the other communities. And that's part of, I guess, the other piece of this is the bicycle master plan.
Right.
Which was also in the news this week.
Yeah, and this is an extensive plan that's being developed, I think, over a year. And they have, I think, five or six informational sessions or work sessions that they're going to have starting September 22nd and running all the way through November to give people an opportunity to come in and opine as to what they'd like. There are a lot of – they're different kind of people that ride bikes. They're the people that race road bikes.
Yes.
They've got certain needs. They're people that would like to get on their recreational bike and go from one place to another with their little basket in there on the front and pick up some groceries.
Right.
You've got kids riding bikes. So different people have different needs. But this master plan is intended to really look at all of the different needs that people have and try to accommodate it. They're going to put in off-road paths. They're going to put in bike racks. They're going to look for shared bike systems with roads and things like that. I think it's a great
and some
great
good thing. Directional signage. Now, this also ties into Symphony Woods, too, because the Symphony Woods is in the news this week or a couple weeks of putting the current redevelopment of Symphony Woods on hold.
Well, it's something the board is considering. What's happening right now is there is a bit of a logjam where we're looking for Howard Hughes to move forward with its plans for Merriweather Post Pavilion, and it is difficult, if not foolhardy, for Columbia Association to go full speed ahead for our plans for Symphony Woods Park if the other puzzle piece that we're anticipating and planning for is not there.
She has spent a lot of money on the plan so far.
Well, I wouldn't say that they've spent a lot of money. They've spent a lot of time looking into design plans.
Okay.
But when you're talking about a park that is going to be there for 30, 50, who knows how long after this, there really is nothing to make us go full speed ahead when, one, the amount of money that we would want to have a truly spectacular park may not be foreseeable or present. We need to make sure that this park meets everything that everyone wants Columbia to be.
You got those meandering paths.
We don't just want to be the best park in 2012 Columbia. We want to be the best park in 2050 Columbia. And if 2050 Columbia is going to be the spectacular thing that we all hope it to be, this park needs to meet those goals, meet that aspiration, and really make everyone say, this is spectacular. This is better than anything we have right now.
I'm going to be 83.
Well, we'll have it so that it is a sloped pathway down to the park, and you can roll your wheelchair right down. Actually, your hover chair.
Yeah, your hover chair. You know, it's funny you say 83, because isn't that the amount of trees they'll have to kill to make the Symphony Woods plan work?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, if I hear the tree debate, because that's something that frustrates me somewhat, because we are talking about doing something spectacular to help people enjoy nature.
Right.
And to be...
We had to destroy nature in order to save it.
To be hung up. I would love to hear those same opponents testify against their own homes when they were clearing land for them to put up their spot.
Not speaking about the fact, I think, Dennis, you pointed this out on a prior podcast, was there are more trees today in Howard County than there were when Jim Rouse purchased all the land.
Yeah, this land was cleared for farms.
Because of all the requirements to put in additional trees through the development process. Yeah. We have a lot of trees.
And remember, this was largely farmland with cleared fields. I mean, so we have now put in a lot of trees back into Howard County.
Only that, Columbia Association has dedicated itself to planting more trees, specifically in Symphony Woods. So this is really just, in my opinion, a false issue of folks that are uncomfortable with change and that are trying to stand in the way of a good plan.
But, you know, it's funny because a politician like Liz Bobo they've made a bit of an issue of that, and it's helped them get like a lot of popular support, of their base, by saying, you know, they're going to destroy all these trees, but it so moves it off of what we should be talking about.
And on that point, Dennis, I want to note something, because our community needs to realize that the person at the podium is not always the representative opinion. We need to get to a point of maturity where we realize that the best decision is not always the one that is being the most vocally shouted down, because we have a lot of families here that cannot make the time out to come and testify. And hopefully we are enmeshed enough in the community and we listen to the community enough that we're not persuaded on the spot by someone with a microphone.
And I think we saw a lot of that at the conventions the last 2 weeks. Right. You know, a lot of sound bites that make people go, yeah, but you know what? It's not representative of what a lot of people want.
Well, anyway, these connected. We're talking about the connectivity between the hospital and Blandair, and that's great for Columbia. But another connectivity that I think I hope the Bicycle Master Plan addresses is the connectivity of Ellicott City and Columbia. And it's funny, I wrote a blog post about an upcoming event that's going to happen in Ellicott City. It's on September 29th, I believe it is. It's the Main Street, the first ever Main Street Music Festival. And it's a pretty big deal. They're going to have like 40 bands. Did I get it right? 40 acts or something like that?
There's secret acts, there's known acts. It looks like it's going to be a spectacular event.
And again, Ellicott City's had some tough times. We've talked about that, you know. It's nice to have them connect. But also, it's one of the things that makes Howard County so cool is we have this new community and this very old community so close together to increase the connectivity. And one of the things I liked on my blog post about this music fest that's coming up was one of the commenters, somebody who went by the anonymous post of Lemon Sorbet, actually brought up a great point, said, you know, we need a bus connection on the weekends between Columbia and Ellicott City. And I was thinking, our own circulator bus. It would be, there's lots of questions about how that would work. You know, where would it stop in Columbia?
Who's really going to use it?
Those empty green buses.
But I think it's an idea worth exploring.
I want to talk about the psyche of a person whose anonymous name is Lemon Sorbet.
Don't even try. I'll tell you. You see these things all the time. Yeah. One thing I do want to note about the music festival, and I think it's a sign of Ellicott City as a business community really getting together and flexing its muscle a little bit. Because previous to this, it's been common for Ellicott City to just be spread out and almost, you know, a confederacy of businesses. Whereas now, they're really coming together and saying, we can do more together than we can apart, and we depend so much on foot traffic that we need to start focusing on that if we want Ellicott City to be vibrant.
I think it's also a shape of things to come. What you're seeing in Ellicott City and happening in their downtown area is what you can probably expect to see in Columbia's downtown as residences are added and new shopping is put down there. So
I can't help but wonder what the Columbia Festival of the Arts feels about this festival of music in Ellicott City in the fall.
Well, you know, I don't think they could be complimentary. The Festival of the Arts is in the beginning of the summer. Your summer starts here. Main Street Music could be your summer ends here.
And art
nice bookends.
Art communities as a whole only get better the more events there are. You know,
that's true.
New Orleans isn't diminished because there are 100 music acts as opposed to 50. And if Ellicott City can develop its own art scene, actually it has an art scene. If it can show off its art scene to the rest of the community, and then Columbia Festival of the Arts carries it on, we are really looking at something great.
And that is how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Before I move on to some of the other stuff, we talked about Symphony Woods, and before I move on, talking about an event, a Main Street Music Festival, there's also another event coming up that I want to give a plug into because it's Alice Giles, who was on our show, and she's co-president of the League of Women Voters. They're doing one of their major fundraisers. They're having Capital Steps come to Columbia on
October 7th.
Yeah, Sunday, October 7th at 4 p.m. at the Rouse Theater. I guess you get the information on that on their website. Of course, it's 4 o'clock on a Sunday during football season, so that's kind of tough. But
well, we do have DVR now.
Yeah.
And Capital Steps is a very funny group, and for anyone that enjoys politics, especially for a group like the League of Women Voters, they're not going in there with a partisan objective. They're going in there to sort of celebrate politics in the way that doesn't make people angry, and that's something that we should try to support, and I think the Capital Steps would put on a great show.
They're funny.
They do a great job. They really do.
And the one last thing about Columbia Town Center before we leave off of kind of the things happening down there is another great news story this week. Actually, I wrote about it on my blog a couple weeks ago, but Enterprise Foundation, a longtime tenant in the American City Building in Columbia, is moving out of the American City Building. And that's actually good news in a lot of ways. It gives that building a chance to transition to the new things happening down there. But the better news is they have renewed their commitment to Columbia Town Center, and they're going to take, I think it's like 80,000 square feet in the former Ryland Headquarter Building on 11,000 Brokenland Parkway. This is probably the largest office lease in the corridor this year. So it's really kudos to both Enterprise for renewing their commitment to Columbia, to Howard Hughes, who actually recently bought that building out of, I don't know, it was like a General Growth gave it up. Lender, anyway.
You're supposed to know these things.
Howard Hughes now has control of the building. It used to be a General Growth building. And it had a lot, large vacancy. So it takes a big chunk of vacancy out of town center. It keeps that business here.
It's a good move for them.
Yeah,
and it really is.
And the reason that's important is because we need Columbia to be vibrant right now as much as we want it to be 30 years from now. And we need that business community to keep attracting people, telling people that Columbia is the place to be, because we're not going to have that, you know, one day we open our door and Columbia is there. It's a progressive growth. And I think what Howard Hughes is doing is showing that they're there to make that business happen and augment it as much as they can.
Yeah, kudos to everybody involved in that, because that took some doing.
Now, Tom, not to put you on the spot, but before we leave Columbia issues, anything else happening in CA that you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to note, I mean, you guys talk about CA, and often there's the note that, it's just a glorified HOA. And what I wanted to note with us talking
about... Did I say
about,
that?
Don't make me regret asking you this question.
When we're talking about Symphony Woods and we're talking about the path to Blandera, I want you to note that as much as you want to talk about Howard Hughes, CA owns a lot of property in downtown Columbia.
Yes,
so you
is.
Should care about what the Columbia Association is doing, and you should care about who is making those decisions.
We're actually very glad that you sit on the board.
Well, you know what? I'm one of 10. So yeah. So as much as I appreciate that, I also want to note that I'm one of 10 mostly uncontested elections. So
yes.
People aren't going to have any decision in what Howard Hughes does with their property. They do have a decision in what CA does with its property. So when I mention that, I want anyone who's listening to consider that the future of Columbia is very much in the balance. It's not decided.
No, there's actually division on the board as to what that future looks like.
Absolutely. Symphony Woods being big, the lakefront is next. And there are plenty of other areas in Columbia that are going to be as important, if not more important, because they're the use of Columbians in general, not just Howard Hughes' clients.
It's a big commitment, though. You know, for let's take a young professional that wants to get on the board, and they've got kids and schools, and they maybe both mom and dad work. I mean, there's a lot of meetings.
Hey, Dennis, I would not dispute that one bit.
Right. But you spend a lot of time in meetings.
But service is supposed to be part sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's for everyone, but I'm saying that everyone should be careful not to give themselves an excuse. Because I do hear an awful lot of excuses, and some of them are completely valid, but other ones will tell me their excuse, followed by telling me everything that's gone on the most recent episode of Grimm or Grey's Anatomy. And I'll tell you what, you can give yourself an excuse
Game of Thrones.
any way you want, but unless you go out there and you actually make that sacrifice, you know what? Then keep your complaints to yourself.
You know, I once had somebody say, we were talking about voting, and I said, well, you know, who'd you vote for? I don't register to vote. I said, why? He says, because I don't want to get called for jury duty.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I thought, I hope you never have to have a jury of your peers sit out there and people thinking that way. It's awful. But in some instances, we've gotten spoiled that way in society, I think. And you're right. You know, service is the price you pay for your living here on Earth.
I don't even see it in such dramatic terms. I see it more in terms of this is a job that people do need to do, and it shouldn't be just the same people. We really do need folks that are out there in the community enjoying what we have and appreciating what's going on and bringing that perspective in, because otherwise the only people you have doing these jobs are the people that are in the bubble of other folks that are like-minded and never being challenged.
Yeah.
Right, and it's so disappointing. When Columbia was made, CA and the villages were made to be a counterbalance. And right now, it is mostly a spot in our community that is ignored. And I hope that there is never a day that ends up biting Columbia in the wrong way.
In the proverbial rear end.
There you go.
So speaking of biting in the proverbial now. Now, just to finish up with one other story we actually talked about on a couple prior shows, I think.
We made fun of it.
We did. So Elizabeth Lindenau, a 41-year-old Colombian, was charged with animal cruelty.
Right.
This I think is some 60, 69 counts or something. I mean, you know.
House full of animals.
House full of animals. They were either dying or dead.
No water, no food,
feces,
no electricity,
all over the place. Right. And basically, she threw her husband under the bus and said, he was responsible to feed the animals, not me.
Right. That's what we made fun of.
And we made fun of that. And, you know, we probably didn't have the full facts at the time. Lo and behold, she, in fact, was acquitted on the majority of the cruelty charges because the prosecution did fail to convince the judge that she knew about it.
Well, even beyond that, her husband stepped up.
And it turns out that she, in fact, had moved out. They were having marital issues. And she had been living in her parents' home since last April of 2011. And she really didn't know that the animals weren't being
treated. He stepped up and said it was my job. And I,
so.
And you know what's funny? And this happened. It's sad. It's not really funny. He said he realized it had gotten bad, but then he didn't know how to tell her how bad it had gotten. So he just let it go. And, you know, it's rather than addressing the issue, you know, it's. Sometimes when there's bad news, we push it off and we just don't address it and hope it'll go away.
Yeah, but you know, we all have files on our desk that just sit there for month after month.
They don't get better.
You look at it, they kind of come to the top and you're like, ah, oh, I got to find something to make it go back to the bottom.
Yeah.
But you know what? It is what it is. So our apologies, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we screwed up. That's all I have. You got anything else?
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Tom, thanks for coming.
Thank you guys for having me on
for number third time.
Number third.
We got some other people that are coming back for their second time. We'll talk about that a little bit. Some shows coming up, but one of those is our next show. With next show, we're going to have Greg Fox, but also we're having we've been talking about school board members. That on October 5th, we're going to have Brian Meshkin come on. But anyway, we got our fall schedule coming up. We got some nice things coming up, and we'll be talking about them in the weeks to come. But that about wraps up yet another episode of Then There's That. Together with my co-host, Paul Scalney, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Columbia Association, and our producer, Dave Bittner, who makes us look good on the Internet. We'd also like to thank General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show again today. As I said, we'll be back on September 21st with special guest Greg Fox, county council person for the 5th District, and another 40 minutes or so of hyper-local news and commentary. We hope you join us.